patience. And hopefully once I talk a little bit, it'll come back. And I think we'll be okay. And that's what we're going to do. We're just waiting for it to come back. Yes, I need to turn the microphone on. Okay. All right, so I clicked it on, and my voice will come back, and that will be fine. Well, let me just get warmed up here and see if I can warm this thing back up. I'm very thankful to God and His goodness. Right, I tell my students, I tell my kids, I tell myself, the goal of life is to bring God glory, and our goal is to please Him and to honor Him in all that takes place. Our goal is not necessarily to achieve a certain level of performance. The goal of life, I tell my students, is not to get A's. It's to study in a way that brings glory to God. And if you do that and get an F, that's okay. God is pleased. And if I come to a place to speak and my voice doesn't come back, that's okay. Because the goal of life is not having a voice that would somehow be pleasant to hear. The goal of life is to glorify God in a way that pleases Him. And so we'll just kind of go along and see how we do. Thankfully, I think we're going to be okay. We're hitting handout number 3 here. Again, I appreciate your patience with me and my voice. How do we change? I mean, how do we do this? I've used this illustration. I'm unsaved. I'm at the wall. I cry out, "Oh Lord, please save me from my sin." If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And progressive sanctification starts. But how does that take place? Do I do it? Does God do it? Does God do it to me? I mean, what do we do? Let's talk about it, okay? Number 1, sanctification is the work of God. It's the work of God. A, sanctification is not the result of self-help. You can go to Barnes & Noble's or whatever your big bookstore here is in town, and you can find a whole section of books called self-help. But that's not sanctification. It's not the result of self-help. Number 2, it's not the result of self-discipline. You may be from a marine background. You might have incredible self-discipline and be very wicked. Sanctification is not the result of self-discipline. Number 3, it's not the result of willpower. You don't crank it up. And if I just crank it up, then I'll grow. No. Capital B. Sanctification is the result of God's supernatural work, including 1, God the Father, 2, God the Son, and 3, God the Holy Spirit, and different texts of Scripture that you can look at. I don't think anybody would actually deny that. Sometimes practically we don't live like it. And we try to solve problems on our own. And we try to get over things in our own strength. And if someone asked you, "Do you believe sanctification is the work of God?" we would say yes. This is one of those things I think we all know in our minds, but somehow we forget to implement. That we can't live life alone. That we need God. I can't stop getting angry with my kids. I can't grow to where I don't get mad at people that pull in front of me. I can't treat my wife biblically. I can't do any of that in my own strength. It's God who has to be at work. Capital 2, Roman numeral 2. This, however, is something we sometimes fail to understand. Sanctification is the work of God, yet it also involves the work of man. Must I work in my sanctification? Yes. Let me say that again. Must I work in my sanctification? Yes. A, this is denied by some in what is called the deeper life movement. There is a type of teaching that's called deeper life Christianity. What does this mean? 1, man's role is de-emphasized. Here's my phrase again. Okay, sorry about this. By many good men, meaning guys, okay, I'm sorry. By many good men who seek to guard against a legalistic view of change. There are some people who teach a legalistic view of change. Do it. You got to do it. Do it. You got to do it. Work hard. Work harder. Work harder. Work harder. Work harder. That's wrong. But what they do is they go too far the other side. And 2, they overstress passivity. They overstress passivity. And they use slogans like this. A, quit struggling. Just quit struggling. You know what your problem is? You're struggling. Quit struggling. Come on, quit struggling. Or how about this one? Just let go and let God. Just let go and let God. You know, Pastor, I'm struggling with alcohol. Just let go and let God. But I keep drinking. Just let go and let God. And don't work at it. Just let go and let God. You say, what's the problem with that? A number of things. But this is what I end up doing. Here I am. I get saved. And I'm struggling with alcohol. Greg, what are you going to do? I'm going to let go and let God. Are you going to get up and read your Bible? No, that's a work. Are you going to go to church and hear Pastor Verwey preach? No, that's a work. Don't give me this legalistic stuff. Do you want to listen to a sermon on overcoming sin? No, you're legalistic. I'm just going to sit here and let go and let God. Guys, I'm going to be sitting here a very long time. Okay? I do work in my sanctification. You say, how do you know that for sure? Well, the Bible teaches that sanctification is active. It's active, number one. Romans 12, 1 to 2. We are to actively present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's what Paul wrote. Present your body a living sacrifice. I am to actively do that. I am to stop being conformed to this world. I am to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Who is that command given to? It's given to me. I'm to actively do that. Number two, Ephesians 6. We're to actively put on the whole armor of God. Who is told to put on the armor of God? We are. You say, you can't do that. In my own strength, I cannot. You say, well, then God has to do it. I once heard a pastor say this. Read your Bible sometime and make a list of every time that God commands the Holy Spirit to change us. And there are none. But the Bible's filled with commands to us, to change. That's capital C. The Bible is full of direct commands directed personally to the believer to change and to grow. And the commands are given to people. Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of your call, with which you were called. We are commanded to walk worthy of our calling. You say, wait, Paul's commanding us to walk worthy. Yeah, that sounds like I'm doing something. Yeah, it does. 2 Corinthians 7:1, we're commanded to cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And then different places in the pastorals, we're commanded to flee sin and pursue godliness. You say, who is Paul writing to? Timothy. He wasn't telling the Holy Spirit to help Timothy flee, even though the Holy Spirit has to enable us. What's my point? Sanctification is active. Sanctification is commanded of me. Sanctification is something I must choose to do. I don't just sit in the chair and let go and let God. There are things that I must do. And the Bible commands me, capital D. This is a review. This growth is not an option. It's the privilege of all believers. The fact of the matter is, all believers will progress in their sanctification. If there's no evidence, my salvation's in question. You say, Greg, it sounds to me, though, like you're making it sound like we're straining at this thing. Yeah, me too. That's capital E. This growth requires great effort. Great effort. Now, typically, I would turn to these passages. I'm not going to for the sake of time, but the references are there. Illustrated in 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul says, so run I. That's racing. That's number one. The Christian life is like a race. Now, I know it's cold up here. Any of you guys run? Any of you guys run in a race? You like to run? Okay, how do you run? You just sit back and let go and let God. And then you win the race. No, you put your eye on the prize. This way, you put your eye on the prize. Yeah, as you say, this is where I'm going. And you go for the tape, and you run. And if I were to look at you after a race, I'm guessing your shirt would be wet. And I would look at you, and I would say, wow, you look tired. And you would say, Brother Greg, man, I really, really ran the very best I could. Paul says, so run I. Next, he uses the illustration of boxing. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Any of you guys like boxing? Boxing? I've heard some of the ladies say boxing is not a Christian sport. Hey, Paul put it in the Bible. Okay, all right. Take it up with him. All right. Not as one that beateth the air. I've never boxed. Not as one that beateth the air. You see guys box, they're pretty tired when they're done. Sanctification ought to make us tired because we're working at it. Ephesians 6, this is number 2, warfare. Put on the whole armor of God. Number 3, fighting the good fight and finishing the course, 2 Timothy 4. What's my point? We have to put forth effort. You say, so it is up to me. No, it's not. Capital F. In sanctification, God works in us and through us. Let's turn to Philippians 2. I've mentioned it, but it's so key. I just want to remind us of it, and let's look at the Bible, and maybe this will help us just to key in on it. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, please. We'll see both sides. In verse 12 of Philippians 2. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Yeah, you were saved. Work it out. Work out the ramifications of your salvation. What's that? Progressive sanctification. You say, how, Paul? Look at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you. What does he do in me? Two things. Number one, to will. Number two, to do. What does God do in his children? Fire, and he gives us ability. That's what God does. God works in us, giving us desire and giving us ability to change. We have to do it, but God gives us a desire to do it. We have to do it, but God gives us the ability to do it. You say, what do these guys have to do? Verse 14 will tell you. This helps you. What do the Philippians need to work on? 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. You know what that means? They were complaining. You know what they were working on? They needed to quit complaining. They were complaining. They were murmuring. They were disputing. We know at least two women, right, in chapter 4 that had a problem with that. That was going on in this church. And Paul said it needs to change. And God will give you the desire to change. And God will give you the ability to change. So, do I do it? Yes, but not in my own strength. God gives me desire and God gives me ability. And it's all of God. But if I just sit in that chair and say, God, change me, I'll never be changed. That's why sanctification, in a sense, is a little salvation. I could sit in that chair and say, Lord, please save me from my sin, and he saves me. And I could sit in that chair and say, Lord, please change me. And I could sit there all day long. But to really be changed, I got to get out of that chair, and I have to get in the Word, and I have to pray. And I have to go through the normal spiritual disciplines. You say, what would that look like? Well, that's part 2. Sanctification. How is it done? Part 1, who does it? God does it. But he does it in me, giving me desire and ability. So yes, I am doing things. Part 2, how? Let's talk about it. Sanctification is a 2-part process. What does it include? A, number 1, putting off sinful desires, thoughts, and behaviors. Number 2, putting on godly desires, thoughts, and behaviors. We see this put on dynamic throughout Scripture. It's very common. I want to go to one place, please. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll see this put off, put on type of thing. People changing by putting off what is not pleasing to Christ and putting on what is pleasing to Christ because in their hearts they desire to please Christ. Not to earn merit, you can't earn merit, not to please other people, but to please Christ. Verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Fill in the box, help me out on the chart. What would you do if you were counseling somebody who lied? Well, you would help them to put off what? Lying, very good. And put on what? What's the opposite? Good, telling the truth. So you'd work with your son or your daughter. Baby, you say that you're a believer. You put your faith in Christ. Do you know what happens when you lie to daddy? It makes Jesus, when my kids were little, I'd say this. It makes Jesus very sad. He died on a cross for you, honey. Don't you want to tell him thank you? Well, daddy, yeah, I do. Well, the way you tell him thank you is by telling the truth to daddy. So what you need to do is you need to put off lying because that makes Jesus sad. And you need to tell the truth to me. Why? Because it makes Jesus smile. It makes him happy. Don't you want to show him that you're thankful that he died on the cross for you? Yeah, daddy. Okay. And that's what we do. You're putting off lying. You're putting off telling the truth. Let's go to verse 28. We'll see something similar. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands the thing which is good. So what are we doing here with the thief? He would put off what? What are you going to put? Stealing. Good. Put off stealing. But there's more. You don't just stop the bad. You got to replace it with the good. You don't just put off. You put on. What needs to be put on instead of stealing? What? Working. And you can even add something else. That's correct. But what else can we add based on the text? Look. Good work. Good. And what else? That's correct. And what else? Giving. Thank you very much. Not good work so I can one day buy my own lake in Minnesota. Isn't this the land of lakes? Right? Okay, there you go. I've always wanted to own my own lake. I'm going to work really hard that I can own my own lake. No, it's the idea that I want to work really hard, and if God blesses me with money, I might be able to support a missionary. Man, would that be great? I can help the church with a new ministry. Praise God, I can buy Bibles, you know, whatever. Okay, so doing good things, giving. Let's go to verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for your edification, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What would you put off? Someone who's always cutting people down. And this doesn't just mean cussing. It can include that. But sometimes we're always cutting people and making fun of people. What does that person need to put off? Words that what? Let's be a little harder, I think. Words that what? Hurt. Hurtful words. And I want to put it this way, just because it'll help me in the second box. Words that tear down. You know what, guys? I say this to our church. You ought to be able to come to this church and not be torn down. Everybody else tears you down. People at work tear you down. I don't believe you did such a crummy job. Sometimes your friends tear you down. You know, you're such an idiot. Why'd you say that? Right? In school, people tear you down. You stand up and give a speech. You don't do a good job. They make fun of you. Right? People are sarcastic. People always tear people down. It should be funny. This church ought to be a place where you could come, where everybody to put on is words that what? Not tear down, but build up. Yeah. You know, it should be that unsaved people come and visit your assembly. And they say, you know what? This pastor, Verway guy, I don't understand. He's always talking about Christ. That doesn't make any sense to me. I think you guys are weird, but there's one thing I'll say about this assembly. Everywhere I turn around, someone's trying to build me up. I have never met a more encouraging group of people in my whole life. That's a testimony of a changed heart. That we're building people up, that we're encouraging people. Not, who bought this coffee? That's not the kind of coffee I like. Or who sliced those bagels? They didn't even hit the center. You know, and all these things that people complain about. It ought to be, Susan, you brought the coffee. Man, that is so great that you would get up early and get the coffee. And you sliced the bagels. And what a blessing. I love it when they're sliced a little bit to the right. And that is so, or whatever. Okay? I mean, we ought to be encouraging people, you know. Hey, praise God. I'm so thankful that you would come. That's what we should be doing, building people up. Finally, number four, in verse 31, verse 32, talks about, I'll just give them to you. Put off bitterness and anger. That's in verse 31. And put on kindness and compassion. That's verse 32. Now, why did I go through that? Just to help us see that it's more than putting off. It's putting off and putting on. So we see this double dynamic in Scripture. Let's hit them one at a time. Let's talk about putting off sin. A, intro, one. We are all sinful people who readily yield to the lusts of our hearts. We are sinful people. What does that mean? It means we're not there yet, okay? We're still in this progression of sanctification. We're all sinful people. Now, what are we supposed to do? Number two, we must consider ourselves dead to sin. We must reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. You say, what does that mean? Capital B. Scripture teaches us that we have put off what is characteristic of the old man. That's what we need to do. That's what we have done. You say, what do you mean? Number one, Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceit of lust. What's that mean? One, we've been taught to put off the old self or the old man as if removing clothing. Maybe some of you guys work in construction. Your clothes get dirty. What do you do? Some of the younger guys play football. Your clothes get dirty. What do? You go home and you remove them. That's the word putting off. It means take off what's dirty. Okay? A, what is this old man or old self? It's everything we are apart from Christ prior to salvation. Everything that's true of Greg Mazak prior to knowing Christ, that's my old self. B, It refers to, Paul says, our former conversation in verse 22 of Ephesians 4. Number two, we need to put off or stop listening to our lusts, realizing that our lusts always attempt to deceive us. Ephesians 4:22, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. We have lusts within us, and they attempt to deceive, is the word there. Deceive us. Right? That's what our lusts do. You say, how? I'm going to use an illustration. And just so you know, your pastor hasn't tipped me off. He hasn't said, Greg, get this one. Okay? I'm just going to use a typical illustration. I'm going to use snowmobile. Okay? Because I never use that. It's just kind of fun. I could use that word. All right, I want a snowmobile. Man, I wish I had a snowmobile. Yes. You know, I guess they're four-stroke. Are they? Are they two-strokes or stroke? I just need to know what sound to make. Snowmobiles, two-strokes, two-stroke. Okay. Going down there. I want a snowmobile. Honey, if I had a snowmobile, I would be happy. You know, how do I even live so long without a snowmobile? I think God wants me to have a snowmobile. Think about all the ministry opportunities I could have. I could pass out tracts on my snowmobile, you know. I could get heated tracts, you know. And I could say, are your hands cold? Hold this. It will warm your hands. And then they would look. They would see it was a tract and they would get saved. But I need a snowmobile. People are going to hell because I don't have a snowmobile. And that's what we do. And our lusts deceive us. Honey, we don't have enough money. Okay. Maybe I can work extra hours. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start working. Yeah, I think I'm going to start working Wednesday nights. Honey, but you couldn't go to prayer meeting. Yeah, but that's okay, but it's for the Lord, baby. So I'm going to start working Wednesday nights. I'm going to go to prayer meeting, and that's the, I'm going to work Sunday nights. Why aren't you going to go to church Sunday night? No, I worship God Sunday morning. I'm going to volunteer to work Sunday night and Wednesday nights, and then I could have enough money to serve the Lord effectively like He wants me to. I'm going to buy a snowmobile. And the next thing you know, I don't go to church. And the next thing you know, I'm working two jobs. And the next thing you know, I don't have devotions with my wife. And I don't pray with my kids. But, and I got a snowmobile. And you say, what happened? The lusts of my heart deceived me. That's what Paul's talking about. Number two, we need to put off or stop listening to our lusts, realizing that our lusts always attempt to deceive us. See, Scripture tells us that we must put off the sin which characterizes the old man, since we have put off the old man. Now you say, well, do we have an old man or do we put it off? Well, number one is Colossians 3:8-9. Put off all of these things, sinful things, because you laid aside the old man. So in some texts it says we've already put off the old man. And some people explain it this way, number two. If the old man really has been put off, and it has, don't digress to your old behavior. Don't start living like you used to live when you had an old man. Maybe this will help. I've heard this illustration. Have any of you ever rented? Maybe you still do. You rent the place you stay in? Anybody? At least once you've rented, you know it. Okay. Here you are. You were unsaved. You're back here. You were living in an apartment building that was governed by sin. And every month the landlord would come and say, hi, you must pay me rent. And you would say, yes, landlord, here's $500 or whatever. You paid the rent. What happens once you got saved? You don't live there anymore. Okay? Now you're over here. And the old landlord comes up to you and says, hey, pay me $500. We don't have to pay him anymore. See, we are set free from his building. Sad thing is sometimes we still listen. And we say, okay, I'll still pay you. And we jump back into our sin. Paul is saying you shouldn't do that. You don't have to do that anymore. You say, could you make that more practical? Let's see if D will help. Practically putting off the characteristics of the old man. Greg, what does that look like? Okay, number one. We must repent of our sinfulness. I'm not even going to start with sin. I'm going to start with something more basic. Sinfulness. A, our problem is not merely that we sin, but that is a problem. B, we are not nice people that occasionally sin. See, we are sinful people who continue to struggle against the lust of the flesh. You know where it begins, guys? It begins with repenting of our sinfulness. Not even, Lord, I just yelled at my wife for you, even though you got to do that. Lord, I am a sinful person who yells at my wife. Lord, forgive me for my sinfulness. I want to start there. And then, number two, we must identify specific sins. Lord, what I said to my wife did not honor you. She just got her hair cut. She asked me what I thought. I told her the truth. I told her she looks like a poodle. But I realized that that did not build her up. And I shouldn't have done that. Okay? And I should have just trusted in you. Okay? Now, some of you guys are saying, well, what do you say when your wife... Guys, let me help you. Okay? You ladies be the judge of this. Honey, how do you like my haircut? And some of you guys, it looks beautiful, then repent for the lie. Well, when you first get saved, maybe, I don't know. But you're supposed to grow and be truthful. You say, what do you say? How about this one, ladies? You tell me if you like this. Honey, you're so beautiful, any haircut looks good on you. How about that? Is that okay? Ladies, if you got a better one, tell me. That's the best I've come up with, okay? Lord, please forgive me for being mean to my wife. That's number two. Identify the specific sins. And then what do? Three, you confess the specific sins. Confess. I think you know what confess means. Confess says what? Confession means what? Saying, agree, good. Saying the same thing. Guys, you know why sometimes we have problems in our marriages? I know it's not a marriage conference, but it's what I speak on a lot. You know why we have problems with our marriages and stuff? Because we don't confess. We admit, but we don't confess. Can I show you the difference? Honey, I know I lost my cool, but that is the fifth day in a row you made macaroni and cheese. All right? That's not confession. Honey, why do I have to eat this crummy macaroni and cheese? I wouldn't feed this to a dog. Oh, I shouldn't have said it, but you shouldn't have made it. That's not confession. That's admitting it's not confession. Confession is agreeing on. You know what confession is? Honey, what I said was sin. There was no excuse for it. That's agreeing with God. And if I say anything like, but you didn't have to make it again, that's not confession. Confession is, I sinned. I agree with God. We need to confess our sins. Who to? A, to God. B, to others that you may have offended. That's what confession is. It's agreeing with God. We don't like to do that. Okay? And then we got to go to the next step. This is lowercase c. Confession, guys, is not saying, I'm sorry. Stop that. It's not confession. Hey, I bumped your car. Sorry about that. That's not confession. We sometimes say that's not confession. Well, I shouldn't have said that I hate your macaroni and cheese. You cook like your mother. Sorry about that. Well, Pastor, I confessed my sin. No, you didn't. That's not confession. I'm sorry about that. I used to play a lot of football. You know, a guy's on the ground, what do? Is you get up, you kick him in the helmet. Sorry about that. It means nothing. Okay? Confession is not, I'm sorry. Confession involves seeking forgiveness. Seeking forgiveness, that's C. You want to know what confession is? Honey, I sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? Silence. Just shut up. Don't say anything else. I sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? That's what should be going on. That God, I sinned against you. Now, I wouldn't have lost my temper if she wouldn't have done that. You know that, God, because you're on mission, but I thought I'd remind you. Lord, no. God, I sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? Children, parents, are we doing this with our kids? Son, I don't have sons, daughter. Honey, what daddy said was unkind last night. I sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? But remember, I was out late preaching and I came in very late. And I was kind of behind. You know how daddy is when he gets tired? No, no. I sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? Silence. That's what we need to do. And D, as we pursue reconciliation with others, if necessary. We must identify specific sins, 2, confess specific sins, 3, and 4, we must repent of the specific sins. Repent. What's that mean? A, repentance is a change of mind reflected in a change of behavior. That's repentance. May I please remind all of us that repentance is not merely a change of mind? Let me see if I can illustrate that. Let's say I rob a bank. I'm burning for missions. I don't have any money. I rob a bank. And I give it to missionaries. And then a guy like your pastor comes up to me and says, Greg, what's new? I say, not much. Robbed the bank recently. Gave it to missions. It was really good. It's a blessing. I'm going to do it again. And he says, Greg, maybe you missed this in seminary, but stealing is a sin. And he opens up the scripture and he shows me. And I go, wow, I missed that. You're right. And he says, okay, well, I just thought I'd share it with you. I say, thanks, brother. Next time I see him, hey, did you rob a bank again? Sure did. Yeah, I did. I gave all the money to missions. I mean, it's like a Robin Hood thing. I don't do it for myself. I'm not selfish. I do it for God's glory. And he says, Greg, but I showed you last time from the Bible. And I say, yep, but I've had a change of mind. What do you mean? I used to do it and not think it's a sin. Now I know it's a sin when I do it. Thanks for helping me have a change of mind. Now every time I rob a bank, I think I'm sinning. I used to not know that. Now I do. That's a change of mind. That's not repentance. You know what repentance means? It means turning. This is repentance. You want to know what repentance looks like? And again, a lot of people struggle with this different. I just use a specific illustration. This is repentance. Honey, I want to be honest with you. I've been struggling with the computer and I've been looking at pornography. And so I've been talking to Pastor Chris or whatever. And here's what I've decided to do. We are going to put software on the computer that blocks it. And you're going to set this word. And I don't want to know it. And that's what I'm willing to do. Or we are going to call and cancel the cable. Or whatever it takes. Because I'm tired of sinning against my God. And I am turning. I am repent. Honey, you know that sometimes, now that I've been saved a while, but sometimes I still stop at the sports bar on the way home. And then I end up having a few beers. And it's just so discouraging. And I know it doesn't please Jesus Christ. Honey, here's what I'm going to do. From now on, when I leave the office, I'm going to call you and say, baby, I'm leaving. It's now 5:15. And you know it takes me 17 minutes to come home. And that way I'll come right home because you'll be timing it. And I welcome that. That's what repentance is. Okay? I talk to people that are struggling with problems. And this is what I'm hearing. Hey, Pastor Greg, I'm checking out sites. I know what's wrong, but I've confessed it to God. Good. So you'd be willing to cancel your internet access, right? No. Why do I have to do that? What do you mean so legalistic about? Well, because if that's a problem, put on the Lord Jesus Christ to make no provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't have to have it. So why don't we just cancel? I don't think I need to do that. And I say, well, why are you resisting? If you really wanted to live for Christ, you'd welcome it. You'd welcome it. Now, praise God, I do talk to guys who welcome it. And it's a wonderful thing. That's repentance. Repentance is, I want to change. Hey, Pastor, you going to help me change? Yeah, let's change. I was talking to a girl. She was all tore up. She was in the hospital giving birth to her first baby. She came home. And then she got a phone call. And the phone call was, you're late on your bill. You haven't paid for all of your pay-per-view movies. And the woman said to the guy and the girl on the phone, what do you mean pay-per-view movies? And the titles were all like Hot Women or whatever. And she said, I'm sorry, but I don't watch those kind of movies. And the other lady, the lady on the phone said, I know you don't, probably your husband does. I'm not making this up. She said, you don't understand. My husband's a pastor. And the lady on the phone laughed and said, if I could tell you how many women have told me the same thing, you would not believe it. I don't care if your husband's a pastor. Just pay your bill. So he went home. She went back and confronted him. And he said, yep, you're in the hospital when you were having a baby. Whatever, that's what I was watching. I was going to pay for it without you seeing the bill. But you got the bill. It came early. So I sat down with this couple. And I talked with them. And they weren't living together anymore. And I said to him, Pastor, and this kind of stuff you're watching, you need to change. You're obviously very weak. You're right, Brother Greg. I need to change. And he's crying. He's on his knees. Oh, Brother Greg, help me. I said, okay, I'm going to help you. Let's go to your house now. Let's pull the TV out. He said, no. I said, come on. You're hooked up to cable. Let's pull the TV. He said, no. He said, I just don't really think that's what I need to do. 5 minutes before, he was on his knees crying out. He said, what is that? That is called a fake repentance. That's what that is called. It's a very simple thing. Okay? You're not mature enough to handle this. Let's pull it out. It's not a problem. Maybe one day you'll grow. And then you'll have it. It's okay. But not in the hospital giving and having a baby. And you're watching all this trash on TV. Okay? See, that's not repentance. Repentance is a change. Okay? For we must repent of the specific sins. Now, A, repentance is a change of mind reflected in a change of behavior. B, making restitution may be required. That's the Zacchaeus passage where restitution. putting off specific sins. But remember, there's two parts. We got to talk about Roman numeral 5, putting on. What do you mean putting on? A, putting off and putting on is often referred to as the replacement principle. The replacement principle. I like to illustrate it, number one, with two blades of scissors. How many of you have a pair of scissors in your home? Okay, when you use them, how many of you are more of top scissor people? This is how you use your scissors. You go top then bottom. You go, how many more top? How many of you are bottom people? You go, whoop, then top, whoop, then top. How many of you say, that is so stupid, I have no idea what you're talking about, right? That was the point. You got it. Thank you. Did you get it? Guys, what do? We don't put off. I got it.
Put on.
No, it's at the same time. As I put off, I put on. As I put on, I put off. Let me try. Maybe that didn't work. Let me try radio. Let's say that in your background, you used to listen to punk rock music. Let's make it worse. Country music, yeah. Let's say that in your background, you used to listen to country music. And you've been thinking about Christ, and you've been thinking about glorifying God, and you want to change. Would you change the station dial first to Christian music and then away from country music? Or would you turn the dial away from country music and then to Christian music? Well, I think the answer is obvious. As you're going towards Christian music, you're going away from country music. As you're going away from country music, you get the idea. Put off and put on work together. That's what we're trying to say. Okay? So what are we supposed to do, number two? We're going to replace old man desires and heart motives with new man desires and heart motives. Number three, we're going to replace old man thoughts and behaviors with new man thoughts and behaviors. We're right back to Ephesians 4. Number one, we must put on the new self as if putting on clothing. I've been out in the yard. I'm dirty. What do I need to do? I need to get in the basement. That's where I go when I'm really dirty. And I need to take off my old clothes. And I need to put on some clean clothes. We must put on the new self as if putting on clothing. Ephesians 4:24. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. Put on the new self. Number two. What is A? It's what a person is in Christ. Embrace what you are in Christ. Paul says, the new man which after God is created in righteousness. And some put it this way, lowercase b, the new man is in the likeness of God or according to God. It's putting on godliness, which means C, by God's grace, not self-effort, not willpower, by God's grace and the Spirit's power, we must look to Christ as we work at advancing in our progressive sanctification. You say, great, so you're against discipline. Definitely not. Number one, we must discipline ourselves to live godly. 1 Timothy 4:7. Okay. Number two, we must practice living godly. Hebrews 5, trained by practice. It takes discipline and it takes practice. I'm going to give you a simple illustration. A rhetorical question. Please don't raise your hands. Okay, let me say that again. Don't raise your hand. Okay. How many of you get up early in the morning and read your Bible? Raise your hand. How many of you get up early and read your Bible in the morning? That's hard. It takes discipline. It takes practice. Okay? You say, I'm not a morning person. And don't even say that. Okay? Nobody's a morning person. Right? Even guys that are not morning people can get up to go hunting and fishing. All right? Do it when you want. It's hard. It's very hard. But you know what happens? By God's grace, you can discipline yourself to wake up in the morning and spend time in the Word. It's not easy. It's hard. A lot of things in life are hard, right? Losing weight is hard. Eating healthy is hard. Exercising is hard. Reading the Scriptures can be hard. But by God's grace, you can do it. It takes practice. Now, don't get discouraged. Number three, sanctification is a gradual process. It's just like exercise. If you try to run 5 miles the first day, it generally doesn't go well. But if you do just a little bit at a time, you can grow. What I'm saying is D, by God's grace and the Spirit's power, we can put off the old man thinking and experience new man thinking as we are renewed in our minds. And it takes a change of mind. Our minds must be renewed. That's number one. Change demands our minds be renewed. Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does it mean to renew? Number two, it means to make new again. To make new again, to have a change in thinking. And according to Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ virtually dwell in you. Three, a renewed mind is the new man's mind. When the word of Christ richly dwells in us. What does the word dwell mean? A, it means to be at home in you. God's word at home in you. Which means B, the Holy Spirit uses the at-home word of God in our minds to renew our and change the way we think. How does that happen? Number four, a renewed mind demands that God's word be at home in us as we meditate on Scripture. And we're not going to turn to Psalm 1 and Joshua 1 because of time. I think probably many of you are familiar with Psalm 1, right? Blessed is the man who what? Does not walk, different translations, does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. You know what that means for some of us? He shuts the TV off. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. You know what that means? That means the goal. Now watch this, because I don't want to get anybody down on this. That means the goal is not to read through your Bible once a year, even though that is a good goal. You can read this thing a lot, but never meditate on it. You got to meditate on it. Now, read your Bible through in a year and meditate on it. That's great. But meditate on it. You say, why? You know why? Now, again, I don't want to brag or anything like that. I've been saved out of a wicked background. So, again, I got saved when I was in college. Pornography and stuff, you know, in my past. So what happens? So last night, when I'm in a hotel, and a little TV screen comes up, and I'm looking for ESPN, and it says adult programming, it says, and whatever it says on the bill, it won't show as adult programming. What am I thinking? Man, that's a lie from the pit of hell. They even think me happy is a lie. Been there, done that. I've been a sheep jumping in the mud, and as soon as I hit it, I say, I don't belong here. What am I doing? That cannot offer me anything. Jesus Christ gives me everything, renewed mind, thinking biblically. Christ died on a cross for me. I want to bring him glory. If I do that, he's very sad. And why would I want to do it anyhow? Because it doesn't bring me joy. Filled in the Spirit, that gives you joy. Not filled with the Spirit, walk in the flesh, no joy. I've had a lot of life with no joy. I like joy. How do I get joy? Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. What's that called? Renewed mind thinking. And I'm not bragging or anything, but it wasn't a big deal. You know, just click right by. I don't even want to go there anymore. Renewed mind. Not saying I'm perfect. I'm not there. But we're making progress. Renewed mind thinking. Because the word dwells in us and it changes us. Which is why you're coming to church and paying attention and listening to your pastor preach. And why you're listening to Christian CDs in your car. I'm not saying it's all you can listen to. Why? So the words of the song keep refreshing your mind with the word. Okay? Which is why you're talking to your spouse about your devotions. Honey, I see you're reading the Bible every day. How's it going? What are you learning? Well, baby, this is what I'm learning. Hey, cool. That's so neat. I need to learn that. Hey, let me tell you what I've been learning. And guys, we get together, and it's okay to talk sports. I like sports. But let's keep talking about the Word and talking about Christ and our minds getting renewed. And then when those lustful thoughts come, they're just not as tempting. And we're able to do better, and we're changing, and we're walking. That's what we're talking about. In conclusion, Roman numeral 6, God is glorified as he supernaturally changes us as we work by his grace in advancing in our progressive sanctification. Who does it? God. Do I work? Yes. Well, then who does it? God. How does he do it? He gives me desire and he gives me ability to put off and to put on. Pastor?